Our website is www.lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is Thursday morning, October 25th, 2007. Chris Simpson is the speaker of this service, teaching on Embrace the Pain to Unhinge the Demons. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
I don't know, she was hearing me preach one day something. We ended up in my office talking with her and my wife, one of the ladies, and come to find out, we were praying with her, and I wasn't me, it was somebody I was with, got a word of knowledge, that you had an abortion. And she denied it. She said, no, I never had an abortion. So, okay, well, it must be something else. You know, we prayed some more. And this woman was insistent. Said, no, I believe. And sure enough, she finally fessed to it. She said, you know, I think I did. And she buried that thing to the point of denial that she even had it. And she convinced herself it was her friend that had it. You know what I'm saying? And so finally she had to own that she had it. And then, man, I'm telling you, this floodgate of weeping and hurt. It was like the abortion had just happened. And it'd been like, what, 25 years before? I mean, these emotions and this rat, and this woman was holding her. Just, she was finally experiencing the pain of what she did and the emotion. And of course, we were there to pray with her and forgive her and teach her to forgive herself. Amen? And then, fine, we could deal with the demon. You know, and she got free. Praise God. I mean, just got free. That was kind of an example I remember of someone that just hid and coated over, you know, like an oyster does, a little irritating piece of sand. That's what pearls are, really. They just coat them until the pain doesn't hurt anymore. You know, that's interesting. Pearls are pictures of denial, aren't they?
Yeah.
Aren't they? A pearl is a picture of denial. It's just to, you don't spit the demon out. You just coat it over until it doesn't hurt no more. All right, well, whatever. Now, let me give you a wonderful example of this in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we're going to draw this to a close, but I'm going to show you an example of what you have to do to get free. Right in our famous Psalm 23. Everybody knows this psalm. One day years ago, the Lord showed me that Psalm 23 is a roadmap. By the way, I've written a booklet on this very thing I'm going to share right now. It's downloadable on my website for free. Also, it's downstairs in a booklet called Coming Into Your Life's Anointing. That booklet is about what I'm going to share with you right now, a lot more depth teaching. But it's a revelation that Psalm 23 is a roadmap. And there's really three parts to Psalm 23. And most people, unfortunately, live in the first part and they never venture to the second and rarely ever get to the third. Have you all ever seen this?
No.
But the first part of Psalm 23 is, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's a wonderful, idyllic state. Look at what you got. You got a nice little gentle shepherd there with a staff. You got the little cheapies walking around eating the little green grass. Right? Laying down next to the little pond that's all still. Can you see it? You know, the little blue sky, the little clouds. Just a beautiful spring day. The picture postcard. The gentle Jesus shepherd. Okay. And that's where most people, that's when you come to Christ. What do you find out? You find out that you have a father, right? And you have brothers and sisters. And that he loves you. And he feeds you with his word, right? And he leads you. He gives you something called peace. Still waters. It's a beautiful picture, idyllic state of the initial stage of salvation. Remember, John talked about children, young men, and fathers. Remember? It's three stages. This is the initial stage, the children's stage. Like I said, I've got this in far more detail in my booklet on my website, newwineonline.com. You can go into wonderful teaching here. But this is where most people remain. The problem is, at some point, he wants you to grow up. And most people don't want to grow up. They want to stay there. They want to get fat and happy sitting under the sunshine and not recognizing that the shepherd came to establish a kingdom. You know, he saved you, but he saved you for a reason. He has a kingdom on earth. And the second thing is, this is a violent, wicked, horrible earth ruled by a powerful demonic thing. And the age is going to be cataclysmic and very difficult. And he's going to need sons and daughters that are overcomers. Okay, so you're going to have to leave the little green grass, idyllic pastoral scene. All right? You say, but why would anyone in their right mind go through verse 4? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why would anybody go to some valley where death lurks when they could be drinking the smooth waters and sitting under the shepherd's gaze in the green grass? But look at the valley. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, the only reason anyone will ever leave that idyllic state is when they're sick and tired and they've utterly had it with the bondages and the fears and the superficialities of their life, and they're willing to trudge out to unknown territory to find freedom. It's the only reason you ever wander to... I mean, all these little sheep. Why would one sheep... Because he's sitting there. Remember, he just got saved. He's still... But no, he got the baggage from the former life.
Right.
And he's just at the point, he just realizes, I'm really just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Even with all this, the shepherd and the green grass and the still waters and my brothers and sisters sheep, I'm miserable. I'm not content. I'm just there's a bondage in my life. So he begins to wonder, and then, believe it or not, the shepherd leads us. You know, the shepherd, if you watch the scene, is actually walking over towards the valley of the shadow of death. And some of those sheep are going, where is he going, and why is he going over there, and why would anyone in their right mind follow him over there into that nightmare of the valley of the shadow of death? But, you know, it's in the valley that something happens in verse 4, something incredible. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but you see it in King James. The tense changes. The tense changes. You see, on verse 1, 2, and 3, up to mid-verse 4, it's he, this, third person. He, this. The Lord is my, he, this. He, this, is third person. But in the middle, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou are with me. Suddenly the tense changes. Suddenly it's you. It's no longer third person talking about him as one. It's you. Do you understand where the intimacy occurs? Where?
Yes.
Did you ever see that? The tense changes in the valley of the shadow of death. For you are with me. And he finds an intimacy with God. And he's delivered from something called evil and fear. Fear of evil. Actually, it's I will fear no evil, because the reason people are scared to go to the valley is because they're scared to death of evil. They're intimidated by the evil in either inside of others or inside of themselves. The sin in themselves scares them. I have a guy in my house that, bless his heart, one of the guys, he's struggling for a long, long time, and I didn't really get in his face the other day. The Lord gave me a scripture, drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. You know that verse? Drowsiness will clothe a man. And he's very passive. He's in his 50s, doesn't have any money, any life, any anything. Nothing. Just kind of one step above living under a bridge. And I had to confront him. And he's one of these guys that's very compliant, meek, and everything. But then you hit him the wrong way, this roaring anger manifests. You know, and he repents. And he told me the other day, he says, I'm scared of my anger. And I said, it's about time you grow up and find the balance. You can be angry and sin not. Actually, this guy was all angry, throwing things around. You know what I said? It's a lie. You have a pulse. I mean, we were kind of in a confrontation. But you're alive. He's, I said, you're alive. There's a pulse. Do you understand? I've been living with a guy who's so passive and just so kind of dead that when he got angry, I was kind of excited. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to be alive to be angry. Am I right?
That's right.
Sometimes it's good to get angry. Did you know what I'm talking about?
Come on.
Some people are doormats so long of women. Some of these women. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can tell you stories.
Come on.
Abused women?
Yeah. Come on.
Sometimes I want these abused women to just let it out. Because
yes.
They've been stuffing, resenting, hurting, abuse since daddy sexual molested, and they got some jerk now 35 years later. And I love it when they just finally let it out. Scream, baby, scream.
Amen.
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 We can work it out in the end. That's healthy.
Amen.
You know one of the healthiest things to do in life?
It's
going to sound weird. Go somewhere where nobody can see you. Nobody. I have a place in Brenham, Texas. It's far direction. I mean, just nobody. Except God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and 10 trillion angels. But except that, and I just go crazy for Jesus. I fight demons. Yeah. I'm telling you, sometimes you just got to get up there. Get out of there. Let it out. Quit being so prim and proper. Be real. Be angry. Am I right?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
I remember one time at the Brownsville Revival, I was down there, and Michael Brown, I was one of the big meetings Brown involved, he had everybody yell at the top of their lungs for 5 minutes. Oh, that was the weirdest thing. And so I started doing it. He was yelling to Jesus. And I did, man, after about 3 minutes, that was the most liberating thing. I just said, thank you, Jesus. I'm kind of junk jammed inside of me. Now, you know what I'm saying? Shout unto the Lord. Amen? All right. So anyway, you're wandering around in verse 4. And you know what? How long are you in that valley? Who knows? You know, it's in the valley of the shadow of death that the Holy Ghost can finally get your attention. For thou art with me. Okay, he's finally got you down on the table. You know? You know that verse, all things are open and naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do? It's a picture of her. He splits you open and he's going after the tumor, okay? And we're facing the fears, the horrors. It's scary. We're tempted to run back to the little grassy scene, right? Am I right? And we may. And then the Holy Ghost will come. We kind of revolve and go back and forth until finally, and you know, God will set you up and you'll find yourself in the valley of shadow of death and you didn't mean to. Hey, what am I doing in here? Holy Ghost says, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to deal with death inside of you.
Amen.
But what's wonderful is you begin to find intimacy. But thou art with me. The intimacy with Jesus is worth the cost. It's worth it, man. Suddenly, you hear, like Isaiah 30, you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye. You know, his voice becomes sweet and intimate and close. You hear his voice. The rhema word. You know, man does not live by every word, but by the rhema. Rhema becomes your daily bread. You pick up rhema in the morning. I live by rhema. Every day, Jesus, I need rhema. I don't care how long I've known him. I need rhema. You know, the other day, I share something personal. My stepson, it's frustrating. He just ran off and moved in with a young lady about 2 months ago. We were putting him through college and, you know, everything. All of a sudden, he lived, it's a long story. But anyway, he just, first girlfriend, was asleep with this girl. And he was staying with my wife and I, just moved off. And I'd been putting him through school. And man, that just totally wiped my wife out. I mean, just her boy, you know, just moving in with this girl. And I said to Blake, and we didn't get angry. You know, I said, well, you're an adult. You're 19, 20. I said, you make choices, I make choices. I didn't get angry. I said, you're going to move in with this girl? You're going to hell. I'm sorry, I happen to believe that things continue. I said, you're going to go to hell. And this Catholic girl, who if you do this the right way, we could lead to Christ, she's going to hell. I said, I love you, Blake. I hope you don't die, dude. So I said, you know, I love you. What do you expect me to say as a pastor? I said, the second thing is I ain't sending you back to college next semester. $1,800 a pop. Forget that noise. Mm-hmm. So I said, but I love you, young man. I gave him a big hug. You know, I loved you. I said, I'm going to pray down the biggest angels of heaven on you. They're going to pound your head. And he kind of laughed. He said, I figured you would. So he moved out. Let me tell you, the next morning, he moved out at night. There's a blog I go to on the internet every day. It's one of my favorites. It's called Christian Research Net blog. And I pulled it up that morning, next morning, and the blog master had put the headline blog on the web was, I think it was a quote from George Whitefield to one of these guys. And you know the opening line said, has your son run off? So I printed it and I put it on the bathroom mirror. And my wife comes in, she goes, ah! I said, honey, there's a rhema. Can I hear an amen? You know, the hurt, she's still hurt, but all that stuff went right off her spirit. She's still got the bathroom mirror. I think she's hoping he'll come in and see it. But it's a little thing. Has your son run off? Don't worry. I'll let him go to Singapore, Australia. It was written by this guy back in England, you know. But God is on his tail. And it may be that when he's in Australia, he will encounter the one that will give him the word of the Lord that he won't get from you. It was a wonderful little thing. How many of y'all know that's a rhema from God? The morning after he leaves? Do we need rhemas?
Yeah.
We need something. And it was wonderful for my wife. I mean, it was a whole lot easier to go through the pain. You know, that's favor from the Lord.
Yes.
Don't you want to live like that?
Yes.
Yeah. But no matter what happens, you know, give it 12, 24 hours, Holy Ghost is going to come through.
Come on.
Now, He'll give you hope. Right. Guys, let me tell you my favorite verse in the Bible. You ready? 2 Thessalonians 3:16. My favorite verse now. 2 Thessalonians, it's a 3:16 verse. But the God of peace Himself will give you peace always by all means. Let me say it again. The Lord of peace Himself will give you peace always by all means. That's a promise. So I take that on the throne of God. I said, now Lord, You said You'd give me peace always by all means. And I'm in a situation that's pretty unsettling here. All right? And I've learned to read my spirit. And I can get peace through my spirit. I called my wife yesterday, right before before Norman shared. I was going off to somewhere and I called her. And she said, I took BB, our little Pomeranian, to the doctor today. And she went to going on, oh, there's problems with our little dog. We inherited it from my mom. When my mom passed, we got this little puppy. And I love little BB. She's a sweet little Pomeranian. And she went to the doctor. And she thinks we have this, and the doctor thinks we got, you know, all these medicines. We're trying to help this little dog. And I was frustrated. And it's my cost. So I don't know if she's... My wife wanted me to talk about other things. She says, I don't think you want to talk about anything else right now. I said, you're right. I'm frustrated about BB. So I hung up the phone. And I was going to go into this place. And I went outside and I sat on a bench. This was yesterday afternoon. And I just was... My emotions were all stirred up about little BB. And sweet, we just had another dog we had pass away last May. Broke our heart. I said, Lord, and all of a sudden I heard the Holy Spirit say, check your spirit. I said, oh, that's right. So I checked my spirit, had perfect peace. I went, oh, okay, I'm fine. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
Did you know the Spirit can show us things to come?
Yeah.
I've learned to walk in the Spirit. I've learned that no matter what hits me, I can check my spirit.
Amen.
And that's the still waters. I've learned, you get turmoiled with life. You get frustrated. You got to kind of work through things. And then the Holy Ghost will say, check your spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lord, forgive me. Okay, let me see. And do y'all know what I'm discerning my spirit? And because I've learned, now when my spirit's checking, when there's something inside me that ain't rest, whoa, dude, you need to go off and do spiritual warfare.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So that's when you can bind and loose. You can affect reality. From the heavens. You can bomb demons from the heavens. You can loose from... Amen? That kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But when your spirit's at peace, it's nothing to pray. Now, I think that's gold. That's a wonderful treasure to have. Can I amen?
Amen.
You don't know what's going to come tomorrow. It could have to do with your car, your job, your best friend, your... But you know what? I know somebody who holds tomorrow in his hands. And thou... And I tell you what. The Lord of peace Himself... The Lord of God Himself will give you peace always by all means. Now, you know why it's my favorite verse? It's one of the ones I talk to the Lord about more than any other. Okay, so we get into verse 4. All right? Finally, we work our way to the back end of verse 4. Look at it. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You're getting a revelation that correction and reproof is necessary, needful, and I want it. Are you seeing that? They're rotting that. Now we're getting a revelation. I need it. I need correction and reproof from whatever direction, preferably from you directly. By the way, if you hear from him directly, real fast. If you don't hear from him, he'll send some person, an authority, a friend, a spouse, a pastor. If you don't hear from them, he'll use life situations. How many of y'all have had to have life situations to get your attention?
Come on.
And you know, if you hear the still small voice, you cut it short. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
How many of y'all getting smart in the spirit?
Come on,
Lord, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Oh, I hate going through the Father's backhand. Okay, been there, done that. Oh Lord, trust me, we could all get up and preach on that. Amen. Come on, work with me here. Y'all aren't a bunch of perfect people. Have y'all ever experienced God's correction?
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How many of y'all getting smart to listen?
Amen.
You know what? The key to... You want to avoid a lot of tribulation in your life? Let me tell you the secret to avoid tribulation. You ready? You ready? Have a good, long, quiet time every morning and get still.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Be still and know that I'm God. He speaks by a still small voice. He leads us by the still waters. If you learn just every morning to get still and quiet, put quiet in your quiet time, and get still and read your spirit, then you'll avoid a whole lot of stuff. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Just a little bit of stillness, and you hear that voice, and the Holy Ghost won't have to let so-and-so come in your face or situations, right? Am I right?
Yes.
That's what it's about. And I'm getting older and getting smarter. I don't like pain or hurt. I like life to just work and be smooth and just, you know, tipping through the tulips. I like life to be nice. I like life to be nice. And it can be nicer. It's still going to stop if I just get still and obey quick. It really works. And most of the pain of my life has been not David, this is me. I just want it both ways. All right. So then finally, the blood of Jesus gets us out, and we burst into verse 5. Are you ready for verse 5? Dude, this is what's fun. You ready? Look at this. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And is that cool? That's the third point. Remember John said, children, young men, and fathers, now you get into the father's stage. Look, the enemy has to sit there and watch you eat. You can smack in his face. Right? Just kind of sitting there salivating while you're eating down. Pig it out on the buffet of the Lord's table. Get out of that! That's anointing. Look at the next thing. Thou anointest my head with oil, or makes fat my head. My cup runs over. We're looking here at where God wants us all to be. He really wants us to get out of the initial stage, go to the young men stage, 1 John 2. Young men, you're strong, the Word of God abides in you, love not the world. By the way, you know that verse, love not the world, neither the things of the world? Did you know if you look at the context, he's talking to the young men? Mm-hmm. Look at the context. Oh, young men, you're strong. The Word of God abides in you. You've overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust, flesh, lust, fire. Pride of life? And he's talking to the young man. He says, but I've written to your fathers because you've known him. That's from the beginning. And that's what he says both times to the fathers. See, what God wants to give us big fathers in the Spirit, that's maturity. Yeah. Teleos. The word perfect in the King James. It's almost all the epistles. The word teleos in King, it's perfect. A full growth, full maturity. That's what God wants us to get, to be mature. And maturity is when you've known him from the beginning. You begin to understand that God is, was, and always shall be. God is the beginning to the end. He's the first and the last. He knew me before the foundation of the world. He knew me in my mother's womb. He has more thoughts towards me than the sand of the seashore. He's got this thing mapped out, everything from the beginning to the end. The only impediment in the entire thing was my stupid will. And the demons were nothing more than useful things to help me repent to get closer to him. Because God works all things together for good. Can I amen?
Amen.
And nothing can be done against us but for us. That's what you finally get as a father. You finally get this thing figured out. Oh, it's all about obeying God and saying yes and growing up. And that's, look at the last part. Then you come into this assurance, not only the anointing of verse 5, that smokes me. My cup runs over. Okay, you got stuff to give away. Out of your belly flows rivers. Then I love verse 6. Surely, this is, folks, you know this now. There are two angels that will accompany you everywhere you go called goodness and mercy. Right? They're on both sides. Before, it was sorrow and pain. But they've been replaced by goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell. And that word dwell, there's other verses in the Psalms about abide. He that abides or dwells in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God, planted in the house of the Lord. I will dwell. Christ said so much about dwelling and abiding. If my words abide in you and you abide in me, you shall ask what you will. I'm the vine, you're the branches, abide in me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Well, in Revelation 3 it says, you know, you will be, one of the rewards is you will be like pillars in the house of the Lord. You're not going to be going in and out. You're in. You're locked in. You're going to rule and reign with him in the house of the Lord forever. That's where God wants to take us. And in conclusion, 1 John 1:9. Is that helpful?
Amen.
Embracing the pain to unhinge the demon. We've got to be willing to leave the comfort. I think there was Norman talking about, wasn't it? One of them. going, if you're comfortable, you're probably not walking in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost wants us to be conformable and not comfortable. You know, it's, we're not called to be comfortable down here. We're strangers and pilgrims. Our comfort is in Him. Our peace is in Him. Our home is in Him. You know when, you really are beginning to enter the richest, deepest, most wealthy places in the spirit world, the places of maturity and kingdom come, you know when it is? It's when you don't have to go anywhere to be content.
Wow, there you go.
You can walk in the backyard and empty the garbage can, stop and look over at the sky and the tree, and you are experiencing in your spirit what you'd have to go to Acapulco and spend thousands for. That's when you know, am I right?
Amen.
When you don't have to go anywhere. We went on a cruise. I've never been on a cruise before. I'm with a company. I'm a regional vice president with this company, and we have 40 people in our office. We went on a cruise last year. I'd never been on a cruise before, and I loved it. I think I showed it the other day. It was great because my cell phone didn't work. And I couldn't get on the internet. Well, we already have put our money down for the January cruise. January is a wonderful time because the prices are incredibly low. We'll go down to Cozumel. So, and I told my wife, I can't wait for this cruise. And she's saying, yeah, you know, get to go to Cozumel and shopping. And you know what I love about the cruise? My favorite thing? My favorite thing about the cruise is there's times during the day when you can get a deck chair and you pull it up under a little eave, and you sit there with your Bible or a book, and you just look out over the sea, and there's nothing. No one can call me now. There's no cell towers as far as I can see. I mean, it's just peace to be with the Lord. That's what I really am longing for. It's just, not that this is not big, but it's just, I found all the rest, fine, go to whatever, go down the street to Kroger, or go to Cosmo, no big difference to me. Spending money. what I long for is just where I can be at peace. Amen? Totally. A moment of just somewhere where you can just cut off all the distraction and find a depth of peace with the Lord. And folks, that's where it is.
Yeah.
And that's really the reward. And in conclusion, 1 John 1:9 sums up. In King James, the first five words are ours, the rest are God's. Listen to this. You ready? The first five words are yours. In King James, the first five words, if we confess our sins. And the sixth word is He. That's where He takes on. And I like that. I'm convinced most of the Holy Ghost's work is to move us deeper and deeper into this verse. Now, we know that, according to, I think it's Proverbs 28:13, says confess and forsake. Can't build a doctrine on just confessing. The whole counsel of the Word of the Lord is not just to confess your sin. Would you agree it's to repent, to turn from your sin?
Amen.
But the first five words, but confessing is a big deal because a lot of people spend all their life denying their sin or blaming their sin or justifying their sin or hiding from their sin. So at least confessing is taking ownership for your sin. Trying to get Adam to do that. Adam, what'd you do? Well, it wasn't me. That woman you gave. Turn to the woman. What'd you do? It wasn't me. It was a snake. And a snake looked around. He couldn't know anybody. Trying to find somebody to blame. So, you know, it's like my dad going to four boys, and he starts with the oldest, gets the youngest, and he works the punishment back the way up, you know. Okay, snake, you're going to crawl in your belly. Woman, you're not going to like it. You're going to have to be in submission. And man, you're going to have to get up and sweat, you know. This garden business is over, you know. It's going to be hard. So to confess, when we're willing, look at the latter part of this verse. He is faithful and just to do two things. To forgive us of sins, and here's the good part, here's deliverance. And to cleanse us from what? All in. Folks, I really believe the Holy Ghost wants to take us to deeper and deeper cleansings.
Yes.
Get the Holy Ghost, get the water, the washing of the water of the Word and the blood way down there. I wrote here, when you're willing to face the pain and stop blaming, judging, and living in denial and self-pity, then the light from above exposes the demonic hooks and the blood can get down there to unhinge the demonic. Let's pray. Let's pray. Praise God. Let's pray, guys. Jesus, thank you for your word, Lord. Just pray. Jesus. We stand out of the Lord. We love you. But I pray for anointing of the Holy Ghost to lead us into places of peace and depths of quietness and stillness and wholeness and holiness and contentment in you. Lord, I pray you'd help us to look at the hard things, to face the things we've perhaps run from or been denial of or blamed others for. Lord, give us the courage to get up and walk into that valley if that's what it takes, Lord. And the very thing we're most afraid of, Lord, give us the courage to obey. I know you did not want to get on that cross following the opposite to pure faith to say, not my will but thine be done. But you walked through your fears, Jesus, and you brought came into a wonderful and glorious exaltation and redemption. So Lord, help us. And as we enter in, Lord, thank you that what you give us, you give us beauty for ashes, Lord. You give us intimacy, a closeness, a proximity to you we've never known, never dreamed, never knew was possible. But I pray intimacy for all of us, that we'd find your voice and your rhema so much more. And we wouldn't be surprised at the rhema. But we know it's just love letters from the Father that you give us all through the day. We thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. And I just pray this word would find good soil, Lord, and deep roots in our lives. It not only affect us, but we could minister these same to others. And I speak a blessing over us, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen, amen. God bless y'all. You're dismissed. I think we've got a lunch now at 12:30.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.